I'd like to invite the representatives of the Synod to come forward and share with us. I was counting the number of profoundly significant life-changing moments at Synod. I look forward to hearing about them.
This year, Leslie, Cameron, and I are bringing you a broad perspective of our church's work. We think our remarks and observations will show that the Holy Spirit, although sometimes hidden, is alive and active in our diocese. First, let's talk finances. We as a diocese have gone from a deficit of $258,000 to a surplus of $94,000, a difference of over $350,000. Going back 2 years, we are $585,000 to the good. Here's the key point, or the insight. Normally, our diocese would budget for a shortfall in revenue because some of our churches inevitably fall short of their apportionment payments, the monies that each parish sends to London each year to fund the diocese. The diocese last year budgeted to fall short by $188,000, a lot of money. But almost every parish in Huron came through, 99.2% of the parishes, which meant we only fell short by $24,000, which was a huge difference. So, long story short, we are in a really good financial situation in 2019. It's a good place to start. Thanks.
Regarding Huron Church Camp, registrations for camp have increased this year from last year. One of the camp sessions this summer was full by the end of May. Richard Doyle from St. Michael of All Angels in London once again ran to raise money for the camp's bursaries and managed to secure $22,000 in pledges. He has raised over $300,000 since he began his inspiring fundraising. Remarkable. Concretely, the camp now has a powerful telescope for campers to view the stars, which are particularly visible because of the lack of urban light pollution surrounding the camp's location. Secondly, the cabin mattresses that have seen better days have been replaced. And thirdly, 75% of the funding for the long-awaited bathrooms and showers has been raised, and likely construction will begin this fall. The new bathrooms will be barrier-free and contain easy-to-clean features. Great news.
Most of you know that we have a companion diocese in Brazil, the Diocese of Amazonia. This diocese encompasses 40% of the landmass of Brazil, a huge territory, which explains why it sometimes takes Bishop Marinés Basoto 30 hours by boat to get to a clearing in the forest to baptize parishioners, attend to their spiritual needs, and celebrate communion. As of this synod, we have renewed our relationship with Amazonia for another 5 years. It would be fair to say that Bishop Basoto's delivery of her homily on Sunday night in the cathedral was only half successful. The translation of her Portuguese to English, phrase by phrase, was somewhat stilted, and having her talk from the pulpit on one side while her translator stood in the middle of the chancel steps was awkward and distant. That said, she expressed two things that are worth sharing with you this morning. First, she noted that in Luke's gospel, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he did not hold preparatory meetings. He did not give them booklets. He did not provide detailed itineraries and maps or complex instructions. Here, and I'm quoting the bishop, he sent them with the certainty that God would be with them and that they would be bearers of peace. In other words, we need to remind ourselves that we are sent out as we are. We do not need lengthy resumes to be effective disciples in the world. Her second point of note was in telling a very brief story about a town in Europe with a statue of Christ with extended arms, ready to embrace people who approached him. Bombing in the Second World War destroyed the town and badly damaged the statue. When the villagers eventually tried to reconstruct the statue, they could not restore the hands, as both hands had been pulverized. After a number of discussions, they decided to leave the statue without its hands and instead place the following phrase at the foot of the figure: Christ now only has our hands. As she put it, the missionary challenge in the Amazon is to recognize, quote, the harvest is great and the workers are few, but there, just like here, Christ only has our hands, our arms, our feet, our lives. Her address ended with this: May the Lord Jesus strengthen us so that we do not let ourselves be carried away by the values of the world, so that we may be able to cast aside our fears, our mistrust, and allow the values of Christ to guide our lives.
Regarding Huron University College, Dr. Barry Craig gave a particularly inspiring report. 3 years ago, the college dreamed big and instituted a new requirement for undergraduates under the heading Leadership with Heart. Every new student is required to serve others in some capacity during their undergraduate years, serving a local charity, community kitchen, social agency, etc. The students do not get paid and do not receive an academic credit. Huron worried that this new additional requirement would drive students away from their institution. Dr. Craig reported the opposite. Enrollment increased by 97% this year. And they predict that in September 2019, Huron will only be able to accept 1 out of 6 applicants. Dr. Craig commented that 100 years of materialism has left the world hungry for love and grace. This new program will encourage students to pursue more than wealth and status and corporate advancement, and instead look to serve the world in a way that gives them more spiritual and emotional satisfaction. These young people are looking to be of service, to live with grace, and to experience love, which is both inspiring and hopeful.
Until Tuesday morning, I would say that I knew nothing about the Anglican Foundation. Now I do. It was founded 60 years ago as a fund to help parishes in need anywhere in Canada. To date, over $35 million has been raised and spent to assist congregations. Currently, the outlay is about $1 million per year. Two local examples, St. John the Evangelist in downtown Kitchener was provided support to replace its roof and their heating system. St. John the Evangelist in London has also accessed the foundation to replace its roof. Currently, the foundation provides support for homeless women in a repurposed convent, free after-school support for refugee children, and provides money for end-of-life initiatives for kids who have a few dreams they would like to live out before they die. The foundation's goals include less starvation and less hopelessness. We learned that all sorts of churches across Canada provide $50 or $100 per year to the foundation. Lots of churches don't. Around 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, after the presentation, a motion was passed encouraging broad support from all of our 177 diocesan churches beginning in 2020. I am pretty sure the motion passed unanimously.
This year, the Primus World Development and Relief Fund, created in 1969 following the coal mine disaster in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, celebrated 60 years of service. Here are some highlights of the work being accomplished by PWDRF. In Mozambique, PWDRF has bought 30 solar suitcases. These suitcases, which collect and store electricity during the day, allow local rural hospitals to provide substantial light for women delivering their babies during the night, rather than using the tiny light from cell phones to illuminate the mother and the medical staff. These 30 suitcases have provided light for 144 births. Other examples of the PWDRF work is a trauma support center for the 900,000 Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh, the Indigenous Midwifery Program that was profiled to the United Nations in April of 2019, and the Safe Water Project in Cuba. Interestingly, the Philippines have recently stated they no longer require aid from PWDRF, as they have learned how to prepare and respond to natural disasters. They have asked that assistance goes to other countries in need. I'm not sure if you are aware, but the PWDRF formed a youth council representing the four ecclesiastic provinces in Canada in 2010. The council ranges from ages 16 to 30 and selects specific projects to focus on. One example was the Right to Water program, which was a focus of the Clay Youth Conference for 2 sessions. That program is now completed. The group can be reached on Facebook, on the Facebook page called Just Generation. On the Sunday night of Synod, the collection during worship went to the PWDRF. The offerings of $42,300 included a check from our church of $6,263, which was the accumulation over the past year of donations. The fact that almost 15% of the total came from our church shows the degree to which our parish quietly sustains PWDRF's outreach. And talking about outreach, every year the College of Deacons sends out word across the diocese to collect for a special need. This year the need was diapers, specifically baby diapers. The total collected at Synod was $24,300, as well as an additional $146 in cash. Our parish contributed an astounding 1,900 diapers. Congratulations. The donations will be distributed to 15 centers from Waterloo to Windsor.
I'm Cameron, and I was a Synod Youth Observer, which means I was part of the youth group that was at Synod, and we started a new two-year project on how we could get more involvement from youth and parishes and how we could be more inclusive for everybody. A few examples of who we are trying to be more inclusive for in parishes are the LGBTQ and people with disabilities, which includes, but is not limited to, those that are in wheelchairs, those that are vision impaired, and those that have hearing impairments. We started this project by handing out surveys to everyone who went to Synod and had them fill them out. We're going to be using the responses to see what people at Synod thought was the most pressing problem. And this is a two-year plan for the youth, which is the first time in a long time that a youth delegation has done a two-year project. We also did a clay fundraiser. This is an annual event, and this year our group decided to do a bingo game. It had many levels, so you would fill out a bingo card with facts from each, deanery. There was a fact about from each deanery, and if you got a line or a bingo, you could go buy bricks to fill out your barn. We chose to use the symbol of a barn because clay is going to be in Calgary, and there's lots of farming up there. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Waterloo Deanery didn't win the trophy, but the bishop did in a surprising two-way tie. Yeah. Personally, I enjoyed my time at Synod and wanted to take in as much as I could as it was my first time going. I hope to go next year as a youth delegate, as I was an observer this year.
Regarding the environment, in response to our fifth Marks of Mission, which is to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth, Synod passed the following motion concerning the destructive overuse of plastic. Be it resolved that this diocesan synod encourage parishes of the diocese to reduce the purchase of products with single-use plastics, including rigid foam, and to end such purchases by the beginning of 2023. Parishes were asked to include these actions in their 2020 mission and ministry plan updates and review progress by the 2021 annual vestry. This motion will be discussed at parish council, and a small subcommittee will likely be created to examine our church's practices in the contents of this motion and find a way to meet its intent.
Okay, this is my last section. Refugees. There are more than 25 million worldwide, roughly half of them children. Last year, our diocese brought in 141. This year, there are roughly 1,000 approved applications that need to be supported and enabled by Canadians. We, as a diocese, will only be able to take in 125. However, we are doing what we can, which is all that we can ask of ourselves. And you should know this. Last August, $10,000 was raised in 5 hours in our diocese for a 12-year-old Myanmar girl named Muku Pa could pay for the heart surgery she desperately needed so that she could then travel by airplane to Canada with her extended family. That girl is now recovering from the operation. Her family will be settling in the near future in Leamington with the support of one of our churches there. What I can also tell you, it was that our own Deanery Refugee Committee that provided $2,000 of seed money that in turn sparked the incredible spontaneous generosity of parishioners across the diocese, $10,000 in 5 hours, arguably a sign of the kingdom.
The theme of this year's synod was sent into the world, taken from Luke's gospel. Jesus sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Bishop Linda, in her synod charge, reminded us that the purpose of the church is not self-preservation, but to support God's call to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. She called us to live a faith as apprentices and continue every day of our lives until we are called home to God. Bishop Linda ended her charge with a poem by Archbishop Oscar Romero, which beautifully describes our task as we are sent into the world. Here is a short excerpt of the poem. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is the beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is a difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future that is not our own. Amen.